This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about the self. Carly Ostrom was just about to graduate from college when she was struck by a car and suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. Part of her skull had to be removed. Doctors had to put her in a coma to allow her brain to heal. Her long journey back included a big change in how she viewed herself and who she is. Alan Hinnich picks up the story from there.
Hello. My name is Carly Ostrom. My nickname is Curl. And I'm a person in the world. Today I'm sitting in Washington Square Park in Philadelphia. I'm from Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I'm 26 years old.
On May 8th, 2019, Carly and her friend Yasmina were hit by a Jeep Grand Cherokee while crossing the street. Both of them suffered serious injuries, and when Carly woke up in the hospital, she had no memory of the accident. She was supposed to walk for her college graduation that month. Instead, she was dealing with a severe traumatic brain injury and an uncertain future.
After the accident happened, I felt honestly like a blob. I had such high levels of fatigue, and so many of my pathways were just shattered. I was questioning absolutely everything about myself and my entire world.
I guess the recovery starts when I woke up from a coma.
Coming out of the coma was a slow process for Carly. She says her mind was trapped in an alternate reality of dreams and hallucinations.
There was this guy that I went to a coding boot camp with, and he and I were sort of flirtatious. He's from Italy. He came to Philly to, like, ask me out. So I put on this skin-tight cat suit, and I met him at this punk bar. And, you know, things really, like, took off.
What was the bar like?
It was just dark. Very punk. You had to go down these stairs. The first time I started to contemplate, I was in an alternate universe, was probably at about the sixth or seventh week. After my accident, I remember being in a bathroom or something and thinking, like, wait, did this thing happen to me? I can't really do things. I can't walk on stairs by myself. I need help going to the bathroom. I have to wear this helmet to protect my brain, which doesn't have half of its skull. And I am now, like, in Chicago, relearning how to, like, walk in a straight line and, like, type and make a bulletin list.
Carly had to relearn some of the most basic functions: how to swallow, go to the bathroom, and then eventually walking.
There are videos of me walking, and I have, like, three or four nurses around me, and they're kind of like, turn your feet out like a penguin.
And remember, big wide steps like a penguin.
Like a penguin. Not too close together, not too close together. You're gonna trip. Like a penguin, Carly. That was all in inpatient rehab.
Wide steps.
After being in the hospital, she went through 20 months of outpatient rehab. She had to learn how to walk in a straight line, how to move her head while keeping her eyes fixated on one point, hold a bottle of water without dropping it, and how to interact with others.
My intonation, how I make eye contact with someone or use my limbs to communicate while I talk, or even how I dressed. After my accident, all those things were just wiped. I really didn't know who I was.
Back in college, Carly performed in ballet and urban dance groups. She was into tech entrepreneurship, coding apps on the weekends, and she also designed a magazine. After the accident, all those interests suddenly seemed unreachable. They were from a past life.
In the absence of all of those automatic things and skills and beliefs that I had about myself, I realized the extent to which they were all built up just for validation, approval, and connection with other people. You know, it was like very silly things like, wait, well, why did I become so interested in dancing? Why did I have to become this Ivy League student?
Sometimes she would feel traces of her former self.
I was like a Wharton girl with a huge ego. I was like, so when am I gonna be fine? When am I gonna like work my job? I'm supposed to be a CEO one day, you know? I would say that to my doctors. And they would just look at me and say like, oh, we don't know. Like, every person recovers differently after TBI. We don't know. You might need to reimagine what you think your life is going to be like. Which was so devastating. My entire life, I defined myself by success and achievements and just being a badass. I had labeled myself as those things. So when they were telling me, like, oh, it's easy, just get a new identity. And I was so indignant. I was like, I want to go. I miss my independence. I want to get coffee with my friends in Center City, Philly. I want to be living my life. This is not living. I fantasized about, like, moving into my first new apartment. I fantasized about getting a French press coffee maker. You know, like, my own. I didn't even really like coffee that much. But that felt like a symbolic adult growing up kind of thing that I was just desperate to do.
Carly tried to get back to her old life, to reconnect with her friends, but many of them had moved on with their lives.
No one knows how to deal with someone with a severe traumatic brain injury, so most people just didn't keep in touch with me during this time when I was dangling. You know, once people saw me for literally just my soul left, that wasn't enough. And so that was really depressing, and I was suicidal, and I started doing psychedelics.
Despite warnings from doctors, she tried psychedelic mushrooms.
It has definitely been a turning point. And it was really healing because I was just there with some friends in a beautiful city. I was able to actually own my experience and say, we, as in Carly, you and I, you've been pretty steadfast with yourself. You haven't given up. You are going to be okay.
Carly began to see a new version of herself emerging, and the plans she had made before her accident, for her old self, they no longer seemed right. Since senior year, she had a job lined up at a digital media company. But once she started to work there, she realized it didn't align with her values anymore.
I am just going to, like, go get high click-through rates, get a sick apartment in New York just to have that and, like, be cool. I was like, no, like, I can't live with myself like that. I would be a bad person. And it's not like everyone in these non-service careers are bad people. It's just that they haven't been able to experience or fathom this infinite suffering. I'm not saying that I experienced infinity, but I dipped my toe in the endless sea of infinity enough to be like, this is not to be messed with. This is a real thing.
Carly is now taking pre-health classes at University of Wisconsin to work in healthcare one day.
If I could just, like, help people with brain problems just like me, if I could be the doctor that I never had, or the mentor or the friend, then that's enough. I would live for that.
she also started interacting with the rest of the world in a new way.
Oh, I'm a lot more curious now. And I don't want to have small talk.
You should become a journalist.
Yeah, I probably should, actually. But then you probably need to, like, distill it down. And doing that with people that ramble so much, I don't know. I mean, good luck.
She describes herself as being radically unfiltered.
And that turned out to be not a good approach, because a lot of people were like, you're an ass. Some social norms, Carly, are here for a reason.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, but you see, it's all bull. You're all just trying to manipulate each other. Don't you think that's dumb? And they'd be like, no. I definitely overcorrected, but I don't buy into a lot of social norms. I'm not going to mold myself at all for other people. For example, not shaving any of my body hair. And I'm a hairy person. Actually, a lot of women are hairy. Despite what society seems to think. So, my mom is extremely upset about my long armpit hair right now. When you explore your brain, you realize, oh my god, all these things I've just been doing automatically, I didn't choose those. I just became them because other people told me to, or shamed me into it.
It's been kind of weird because, unlike when you're a child and don't understand how things are happening, you know, in terms of your development into a person with a personality and thoughts and feelings and likes and dislikes, unlike that, I have had the awareness of watching my brain, like, rebuild. It's been kind of cool that I have picked and choosed some personality traits that I want to move forward with, and ones that I'm like, no, we're not going to do that again. And my family has been pretty supportive, albeit they found it very cringy at times. Seeing how in real time I'm molding myself to be palatable to people, I definitely resist that. You don't want to be too weird, too out there, too loud. And that's something that I think is really difficult for neurodivergent people. Like, society is very judgmental of anyone that has an extreme experience or extreme tastes. And, like, the truth is, it doesn't matter. You're just a person too, just like them. And I think going through the extremeness of my accident, my traumatic brain injury, I started to despise how rigid I viewed people in extreme circumstances, because suddenly I was that person.
That story was reported by Alan Hinnage.